we have is a tremendous chapter here that I'm just going to take us through. We won't go too deep on this one, but I want to just hit what I feel Holy Spirit wants us to hear today. So Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you to just to guide me and guide our words and guide our ears, Lord. Open our ears that we would hear. Lord, we just pray that we would be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Amen. 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 One of the things that that you hear about a lot today is this concept of having a platform. You know what I'm talking about? Those with having a platform. Now, that's kind of in the either the blogosphere or the internet or the, you know, TikTok or, you know what I'm saying, Instagram, whatever. That's having a platform. And the term they use is that term depending on how many followers you might have. So if you've got a lot of followers, that means you got a big what?
Platform,
right? Right. And so if you're a singer or you're a musician or you're a speaker, you want to be on a big platform. Because the bigger the platform, the bigger the room, right? I mean, that's also another way to look at it. I mean, I've sung with just a couple people around the campfire, right? But then you can sing in a big room. And that's cool, too. And for most people in the world, that's what you want, right? That's what you want. You want to have a platform. And then you've got situations where you want a platform and it matters who's hearing you. In this case, Paul had an amazing platform that God gave him. Paul was this, and you'll hear about his story, but Paul was in this situation where God told him he's going to testify before kings. And so here's King Agrippa. He got put, because of what was going on, he was in chains, I think, or maybe they took him off when he spoke. But here God gave Paul a platform to speak in front of a king, King Agrippa. And as we know, looking back historically, how many of you know that the platform Paul has now far outstrips standing before a king? I mean, he wrote the majority of the New Testament, right? Majority. So that's quite a platform. Can somebody say amen to that? God knows how to give you a platform. And that platform is either sitting with somebody who wants to hear about Jesus and then you speak to them. Now, here's what I need. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to hear this. Because I think it's fitting into what Kenny wants to see happen. God has a platform for every single person in this room, including the people in the box back there. You're not accepted by this. Just because you're sitting back there doesn't mean that you're not a target of this word. So, do you agree with me on that? You think, well, forget my platform. I just want to hide in a closet. Sometimes you feel that way. I get it. Cave, whatever, forget the platform. But Lord Jesus, we pray that you will show us the platform that you have for us. And Lord, we don't care how big it is. We don't care where it is. Just lead us to the right platform. God's good at that, isn't he? I never dreamed that I would have a platform that I had in my life. I totally wasn't expecting it. So don't be surprised if God surprises you. He is Jehovah's surprise. I like it better than Jehovah's sneaky, don't you? But he is kind of clever. Yeah, Jehovah's surprisey, if that's a word. So here he comes, and Agrippa says to Paul, he's been brought here. He goes, you have permission to speak for yourself. Now, can we all read that scripture right now? And I want you to say it knowing that God is speaking to you right now. You have permission to speak for yourself. Jesus wants you to know that you have permission to speak for yourself. You don't have to speak anybody else's words, but God's words in you. And they're your words. They're your story. Your story matters. That's how they turn to your neighbor and says that your story with God really matters. But wait a minute, Lord, I didn't have this happen or I wasn't this way or that. No. Your story matters. And your story may include something like having back surgery because you had to lift something too hard. That may be part of your story. It may not be something you may be proud of. May not be something you thought, oh my goodness, I wish I hadn't done that. Or I wish that hadn't happened to me. God has your value in your story. And Paul did not come, right? And we're going to see God had to deal with him. Okay. So he says, you've had permission to speak for yourself. Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. And I consider it myself fortunate that it's before you, King Agrippa, that I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusations, okay, of the Jews in this case. But remember, there is one called the accuser of the brothers, the family. That's the devil. That's his job. And so God wants you to make a defense of your life, that when you get out there and you have a platform, you're going to be actually making a defense. God's going to give you the ability to overthrow every evil and lie that the enemy has put out there against you. So, and there are plenty. Trust me. You know, if there's as long as you're in the world, someone's not going to say something nice about you. I wish that was something that God told me and that my parents taught me right off the bat. Guess what, John? There are going to be some people that are going to talk nasty about you, and it doesn't matter what you do, what you try, it's just going to happen, right? That's right. It's just part of the world system. All right, so he says, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Hey, guess what? That's right, customs and controversies. Is the world full of controversy or not? We were praying about one today. Full of it. Full of it. Guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. He had a good attitude. In my manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem. So he was in Tarsus, grew up there, and is known, or Tarsus, excuse me, is known by all the Jews. He was a very well-traveled person, for they have known a long time, but they're willing to testify, according to the strictest party of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. He was the number one Jew. He was a strict Pharisee. He was very much in the camp of the people that were there to accuse him. So he says this, and now I stand here on trial because of my hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, which our 12 tribes hope to attain. Notice the word hope twice, as they earnestly worship night and day. And in this hope three times, I'm accused by the Jews. O King, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? What brought the very first thing that he asked their question, he wanted King Agrippa to think about in his witness, is to challenge people's assumptions. Challenge people's, I've got it this way and that way. This is the way it's supposed to be. He begins to question, and he's the first question that people have to consider is, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And is that something that God does? And that people don't like that. They, you know, you see that all the time. You know, and so it focuses on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when you talk to people about the Lord, just like Paul, that's going to come up if somebody wants to know what's going on. And actually, we find out that's, and if we get the background of this story, we will see that that's what got Paul there. They got really mad when he started talking about resurrection. That's when they really rioted, especially when God told them to go to the nations. So, all right, so why is it incredible that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Notice he calls him Jesus of Nazareth because that was the bad term that the Jews used against Jesus. Calling him from Nazareth or calling him from Nazarene, what was it? It had a bad reputation. You know what I'm saying? Well, I know where that guy grew up over in blah, blah, blah place out in Henry County. Everybody knows there are certain places in communities where you're told basically look out because they ain't some good folks there. I'm not going to name any names. Henry, no, just kidding. I had to make David laugh. Okay? It's not Henry. I know that. That's where the county is really run from. Anyway, okay. So he said, I locked them up. And I received authority. Look at this. He was walking in authority. He was walking in authority to do what he was doing. He was walking in authority. And I want to mention this because you'll see how that authority shifts. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. In raging fury against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities, going out of the country. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and the commission. He was given authority and he was given a purpose to do something by these rulers. So he was operating out of authority. Everybody say authority. And purpose. Yeah, and purpose. Authority and purpose. He wasn't just told to do something. He had a job to do, and he had a command, and he had a backing behind him. He was backed up by all of the establishment of that day. And at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven. Now, let me ask you this. Midday, is it the darkest time of the sun or the lightest time of the sun? The brightest. Midday is the brightest. You get the most light at midday. Amen? So this light that came from heaven was brighter than the brightest thing that the sun can do. God's got some light for you. And it's a whole lot brighter than the sun. Now, growing up, one of the funnest things I did, because we were into telescopes back then, and I hope people are still today, but one of the coolest things you do is you get a little thing, and you put on the lens on it so that you don't burn your eyes out. So you can look at the sun and look for sunspots, huh? Yeah, a filter. I think it's blue or green, whatever it is. But that was so cool, because we could actually look at the sun without burning our eyes up. Well, here is a light that shone way brighter than looking at the sun. And everybody around him saw it. As a matter of fact, it said in the book of Acts that he lost his vision temporarily. And he had to get healed by Ananias. Anyway, that's not in this story. He doesn't include that. And when we had all fallen to the ground. So this light knocked them down. They all fell when they saw it. They got hit by a lightning bolt. Who knows what it was? Has anybody ever had a lightning bolt come really close to you? It happened to me one time. I'll never forget it. Did it knock you down? Yeah, you just went right out. But when you hear that lightning and it knocks you, it knocks you for a loop. Because it one hit me, went right down, like right in front of me. I forgot where I was, but that was something else. So this light had power. This light knocked them down and everybody around them. So this is not what you call just a easy walk in the sun. And he said, and I heard a voice saying to me in my mother tongue, so to speak, my Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And he said, who are you? And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So here is the light. And with the light, this is, you got to hear me on this. Light from heaven always reveals Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. If you're getting any kind of light from heaven, it's Jesus that's going to reveal. Not anybody else. Not anything else. He said, I am the light of the world. He who has my light will not walk in darkness. So here is this light, and he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. That's when Paul got saved. That's how he got saved. Now, I want you to know it. I ain't going to beat that. Right? I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet. Now he tells him to get up now. For I have appeared to you for this purpose. So here's what I'd like to say. How many of you have Jesus in you, the light of the world? Raise your hand. Really good. Okay. All right. That's good. That's Yvonne with her pen in her hand. Okay. I know Jesus appeared to her. Okay. So what are you supposed to do when Jesus appears to you? Get on your feet. And he's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for you. I've appeared to you for a purpose. So here's what I want you to say. Jesus has appeared to me for a purpose. Come on. Come on. You believe it? Come on, Brother Winfred. Jesus, you know when Winfred talks, you hear that voice. Let's say it again. Ready? Jesus appeared to me for a purpose. He's appeared to me for a reason. I have a reason. That's why the Lord came. He's got a purpose for me. And we all have a purpose. We all have a purpose. So first God reveals the person. Everybody say person. And then he really reveals the purpose. Everybody say purpose. This is why. Purpose, person. Starts with the person. And the next step is purpose. And when you get a purpose, we call it meaning. Because how many of you know our brains are wired to understand things and to have meaning? Right? Our brains are wired for meaning. It bugs us when we don't know the meaning. How many of you like to sit in a room and someone's speaking a foreign language and it bugs you? If you don't know what they're saying, does it bug you? Bugs me. I'm like, I want to know what they're saying. I'm hearing this language and I'm hearing words and I'm like, you know? So I want to know. I want to have meaning. I don't want to be sitting there going, hey, 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 you know. So there's purpose. And I want to appoint you as a minister. That word servant is better sensed, more of a minister, of a worker. Actually, a worker would be really good, too. I'm appointing you as a worker, someone that's got something to do. So you're not just, you got a purpose, but a purpose implies doing something, but you're doing something as a member of a team. Let me say that again. When you have a purpose, you are doing something as a member of a team. You're on a team now. First team I was on was my family. Right? You grew up in a family, you grew up with kids, you had a team, right? Who was the coach? Mom and dad, right? Who were the other team members? Other kids in your family. That's a team, right? You did what the coach says. I'm just using sports analogy because I grew up and I'm a guy. Okay? Because I love sports. Girls do too. I'm not saying you don't. But for me, I just did sports a lot. So, and I did music. I do music analogies later. But listen, you're a part of a team. And God has a place for you on the team. He's got something for you to do. So you've got a purpose, but you also have a place. Everybody say place. So what have we got now? God's light shines, so you have the person of who? Jesus, you got a person. Then you have a purpose. Everybody say purpose. And then you have a place. Everybody say place. Person, purpose, place. Place. Somewhere to be at the right time with the right team so that you can do what God wants you to do. How many of you, if I went to Elizabeth and I said, Elizabeth, aren't you glad you were in the right place when you first met him? Right? You ended up in the right place because you wouldn't have normally seen him, right? I think I remember where it was. Was it the old Jefferson Plaza, right? I remember. We first met this young lady. Right? At the right place, at the right time. It took a while for them to get the memo, right? Didn't take long, though, right? She knew the Lord spoke to her, man. The Holy Spirit prophesied. See what I'm saying? The right place at the right time. For her, I was at the right place at the right time. It was very typical for me in the lunch line. God knew that I was going to be in the lunch line at college, and that's where I met her. But that was the right place at the right time. There's more to that story, right? See what I'm saying? God has the person of Jesus in the light. He's got the purpose for you that he's got for you. And then he's got a place for you where you can say and be and share and do what God wants you to do so that you're actually walking in the power of God. Oh, another P, what power? Yeah, power and authority, because it says here, well, he's got to do a few things first, to be a purpose and a witness, to proclaim the things that which you have seen me and those in you which you will appear, delivering you from your people. Come on, aren't you glad that you've been delivered from your people? Yeah, now I'm glad. I'm glad in some ways I'm like certain people, you know, from where I came from, family, all that stuff. I'm really glad. I love them, right? But in some ways I'm glad I'm not like them because Jesus made something better for me. You know, I'm not stuck. I'm not limited. I'm not defined by, you know, those people. But I love them, you know. Delivering you from your people and from the nations. So that means you're kind of delivered. Is that kind of like everybody? Right? Doesn't that kind of cover it all? Your people and everybody else. So what is that saying? What's he saying? I belong to a new family and I'm in a new nation. New family. Yeah, trade it up. To whom I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. See, that's the story. That's our story. We're in darkness. Dark. No light. But now the Lord has taken us and put us in the light. Not the light of noon, but the light of heaven. And that light of heaven will knock you down, boy. He got knocked off his horse, so to speak. He says this, I'm open that you may open their eyes. And they need to be turned out of the authority of Satan. Everybody say authority. I don't like the word power there. Because to me, it's authority. It's more of the rulership. It does express itself in power, but the word there is having to do with the rulership of Satan. I would say for me, growing up and getting saved meant that I had to grow up enough to realize just how much I was under the authority of Satan and not what I thought I was. I was under a whole lot of Satan's authority. I didn't like it. I realized it. As I began to realize it, that's when Jesus set me free, and I realized how in bondage I was. From the authority of Satan to God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's that word place. So God has a person for us named Jesus. He's got a purpose for us. That means we have identity. All right? And that purpose manifests itself in a plan, and we have a place. We have a place, a new place to be. And other people are going to be brought into this new place. And there's your therefore. There's your therefore. Okay, King Agrippa. He shares his testimony right there. You see it? That's his testimony. He doesn't even mention the name of Jesus right here at this point. He doesn't mention the name of Jesus at this point. He just said, "Who are you?" And he said, I'm Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm wrong on that. "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus." So he mentions Jesus, but he doesn't talk about, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't really talk about all the things that Jesus did for us to get saved. He just got to know the name of Jesus. All right, so I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now he begins to describe more about his testimony. And not so much of that initial encounter, but how he began to walk it out. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobeying the heavenly vision. I declared first to those in Damascus, right where I was, then in Jerusalem, and then through all the region of Judea, and also to the nations, that they should repent, turn to God, and do the deeds that keeps with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying, both small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass." Now he describes more fully the gospel. That the Messiah, Jesus Christ, must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the nations. And as he was saying these things in his defense, what happened? Festus, not Agrippa, but Festus, the guy that got him there, said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." I think the Lord put this in there to remind us that when you talk to people about what Jesus has done in your life and you describe the gospel, it's going to come off to them like you're crazy. Okay? And Paul said later, he said specifically that the Greek culture, they loved wisdom. They loved being smart. Paul said that the weakness of God is foolishness to the wise. Or the foolishness of God is like, you know, he purposely used resurrection as a way to trip them up, to get them to question everything about themselves. And that's what we need. People need to ask the right questions. And there it is. Paul says, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus." Notice he was very kind there. "But I'm speaking true and rational words." Don't let the devil tell you that you're just believing this on faith and that there's nothing smart about it. Okay? Your testimony is very rational. It's very you know, it's right. And then Agrippa, then he turns to Agrippa. He says, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. And Agrippa said, Paul, in a short time, you're going to make me a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all that are hearing me this day might become as I am, except for the chains. You believe that? He had the chains on. But I just wanted to just get this last comment. What he does is he said this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. So they left. His interview was over. His defense was over. And they all very clearly said, this man's innocent. And then Agrippa said to Festus, this man could not have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So here he was giving his testimony while a prisoner. And I think that's the last thing I want to really encourage you guys about. Don't not share your testimony because you're going through a struggle. Don't think that because you haven't got a perfect that you shouldn't share. And don't think that you have to have it just right. Well, if I just get myself just right, then maybe I'll say something to somebody. And the Lord wants to encourage you. Just do it. Just get out there. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's got the presence of God for you. He's got the light of God in your life. And it's all about Jesus. And I feel that the Lord wants to really encourage us as we come into this season of spring, that I'm really believing God that our testimony is going to be used in a powerful way to lead people to Jesus. And not everybody is going to receive it. And that's okay. Not everybody's going to hear you. Don't be disturbed by that. Don't be discouraged by that. Do you see how close Agrippa was? He was close. You almost got me. You know, he said, you almost got me. So I think maybe later on, maybe he did. But the point I'm trying to tell you is that the Lord has power for you in your testimony. The Lord has power. There's power in the light of God. And the Lord wants you to be light. And it says in 1 John, I think chapter 1, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. So that means we need to walk in the light because our sins wouldn't be cleansed. That means we're human. We're human. And, you know, the world that we're in right now is kind of really extreme one way or the other. Either people talk about how great they are and how perfect they are. You know what I mean? They don't talk about and they're just extolling the greatness of this or that. And then everything is on the other side. While they're extolling the greatness of this or that, they're totally slamming whatever the other side is. And all you ever hear from them is evil about the other side. It's just one or the other. And the Lord wants us to be careful and cautious about falling into that trap because it's around us everywhere we go. It's either one thing is really, 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 really great, and at the same time, everything is really, 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 really bad. And God doesn't want us to be in that trap because if we walk in that light, blood's cleansing us of sin. And so we're not acting like we're all that. I call it being all that in a bag of chips. It's just, that's not us. You know, I'm not, we speak out of our humanity and we speak out of God's mercy. We speak out of God's grace. Was there anybody more deserving of punishment from Jesus than the Apostle Paul? I don't think. Yeah. Stephen, the first martyr, he was there. He voted against Stephen living. So I just want you to know, if God can save somebody like that, he wants you to be able to pray and let's believe God right now. Lord, we just believe you that the people, that there's some people we know that they haven't really repented yet. And Lord, if you can do the Apostle Paul, you can do them. You can do them, Lord. And Father, we thank you that all they need is the light. All they need is the light. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us a platform. That you have given us a platform to speak our testimony so that the light would shine, so that, that even as we have come out of darkness into the light, so others would come out of the darkness and the authority of the devil, that they would come into the authority of God. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you've given us purpose. We thank you that you've given us the person of Jesus in his presence, so that when we share our testimony, some people may think we're crazy, but some people will be disturbed enough because we're telling them how direct the line is to salvation. We thank you, Lord. What you did for Paul in the blink of an eye is by shining your light. And he was changed forever. Thank you, Jesus. Let our testimony shine. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so we're dismissed.